Well, good morning. Welcome back to All Villages Online. Again, we're glad to have you here. We hope and pray that this service is an encouragement to you in your walk with the Lord. Dare I say again, maybe even that it would even help you have a flourishing relationship with the Lord. Before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. In spite of all the craziness going on in the world, all the challenges that we're all facing, you are mindful and you are good. And we pray, Lord, that we would know that goodness personally. We would know that goodness through your church, through your friends, the friends and family that we have. We would know your goodness, most importantly, through your Spirit, through your grace. And we pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in all of our hearts this morning, and do the deep work that we need so that we can be the people you've called us to be, your sons and your daughters. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, been talking with you the last few weeks in this season of Advent about how God is here, and he's right here. He's right here, whether we feel it, whether we don't, he's right here. He's always with us. And it's not tied to a feeling, this God's presence. It's a steady reality. And in that reality, it's about us knowing that he's everywhere. And he's waiting and he's working in us and through us and around us so that he can accomplish his will. And so I just want to encourage you in that this whole time of Advent is a time that we come to really know that he is a part of our lives. But you and I, we need seasons. We need times in our lives to remind us again of who God is. The first time Jesus appeared, we look back to that so that we can see and identify how he's part of our lives right here, right now, in the everyday moments. And so Advent reminds us that Christ came, that Christ is coming, and Christ will come again. Advent is that time for us to lean in and know that Christ is not done, that the work that he accomplished in Jesus and through Jesus is magnificent and changed the course of history. But it's not finished. He's still doing that work in us, through us, as well as at the end of the ages. One of the things that I share with you is how it's so important that you and I really hold on to this, that we are his beloved, that you are God's beloved, that your identity is tied into what he says you are, not in what you think you are, in what he says you are, not in what someone else says you are. No, it's got to be found in him. No one can change it. And in Advent, Jesus walks into our mess. He walks into our the craziness, the brokenness, the emptiness, the struggles. And he goes right in the mess, in the mud and the mire, and says, "I'm with you." And he helps us through it. He joins us in this adventure. I also share with you the ideal you, that the ideal you isn't you trying to be something else that you think you should be, and you feel carry all this guilt and shame. You carry the world on your shoulders. It's not what God intended. But know that Christ has bent down, and he has carried us, and he is wanting to help us live into what we were always meant to be. And it's, again, a son and daughter of his. And so this week, I want to share with you how, again, that God meets us in the wilderness. Now, a few months ago, I think it was like June, July, I shared a message about the wilderness. And we were talking about being a flourishing disciple. And we talked about fruit trees. And we talked about planting flowers and how, you know, both of them are great. But flowers are more instantaneous, and fruit trees are something that, you know, might take 10, 15, 20 years. But we need both. And so there's going to be days where we're not going to feel great. We need to be praying, saying, "Lord, you know, man, pray for me. Lord, we need you to do something in our hearts. Give us a joy. Give us your spirit. Help us to feel and help us to know your presence." And there's going to be times we're going to be blessed like that. And other times we're not going to feel it. But that's when we have to lean in and know, okay, what is the Lord working in me and what's he wanting to do in me? And so a lot of times we look short term. We're very short-sighted. We don't see all that God's doing. We can't even imagine how God can use this. And we should always look to, again, the manger. We should look to that Friday night when Jesus was arrested. We should look into all those times in Scripture where it just looks like God missed it or God messed up Or God just was not aware again, but no, and see how he used those moments to change again the world. And he uses those moments in our lives too. And so we gotta keep our eyes a little bit further down and know that he's stretching us, he's helping us use this faith muscle that he's given us, and he wants us to lean into it. But in this wilderness time, we need to realize it's not just us. We're not alone. We're not on our own, even though this COVID season has been like a wilderness time, a time where we're separated from maybe those that we normally see. Could be even here at our church, service times and stuff like that, you know, in face-to-face, in person. It could be seeing family and friends on a regular basis and so on, and in our community. We can feel so separated, but the reality is that it's in those wilderness times that God can use it to develop us, to help us to learn that God provides for us, that it's not about us trying to do it all on our own, but it's through his grace working in us. There's this one text in 1 Thessalonians. It's a gentleman named Paul, one of the teachers, early teachers of the Christian church. Incredible writer, a third of the New Testament, a third of this he wrote in the New Testament. And in this, he talks about wanting to meet with this church and how he longed for them, but he wasn't able to. It was prevented. There was threats upon his life. And so he actually was kind of like, listen, I'm with you through letter. Well, I was thinking about that. It's like, I'm with you through virtual online service. And it's just one of those things that this isn't the first time that the church has had challenges like this, that God provided through them. And we're grateful through those challenges because we have some of his letters because he was not able to visit with them. We don't know how God's going to use this, but I do know that he's going to use it. And I want to encourage you that even though we're not able to meet face-to-face, we're able to meet in spirit and in heart, and we're able to pray for one another. We're able to reach out. And I just want to encourage you in that, that it's God will provide for you. But in that reflection of the wilderness, one of the things I thought about was this. How desperate are you? How desperate are you to maybe get out of your own personal wilderness? How desperate are you to get out of this COVID-19 season? Don't get me wrong. I don't know anyone that's not, okay? But I found that a lot of times I've been thinking more it's about up to me to get out of this wilderness, this desert experience. And the reality is, I'm not looking to God when I do that. I'm not going, God, I really need your help through this wilderness, through this desert, that you can use this desert somehow, some way to build into me, to help me to grow in faith and trust and character, integrity, to help me to become a flourishing disciple. We ask a lot of times in our prayers, God, would you do something in me? And would you help grow me? Would you help me to learn how to love others better and stuff? When we pray those prayers, God says, great, hold on, let me get some things straightened out here. And he starts to go to work. And as he works, he sometimes has to put us in seasons or in situations that really challenge us so that we can learn to depend on him, so that we can know that no matter how desperate it is, he's faithful, he's good, that we don't have to get out of these wildernesses, we don't have to get out of these deserts. We might feel like we just don't have any hope. And then we understand that he is our hope. There's this beautiful text I want to share with you today. In Isaiah chapter 35, it's in part one of the Bible. It's a great, great promise, great text, a great chapter, a very short chapter. You should check it out one of these days. But in there, it's just filled with all these promises about how God is going to take all of our deserts and turn them into gardens. Isn't it just a beautiful picture? Our deserts, the things that we think are just, there's no hope, there's no chance of life, there's no chance of recovery, there's no chance of a future. And he says, there's a future you don't even know about. There's a future that I want you to know about, I want to tell you about. And then he starts to paint these beautiful pictures of how God is the hope when it seems hopeless. That God finds a way where there is no way. And he invites us to celebrate that. And that's why in this third week of Advent, the week of joy, that we can look into that and find our hope and our joy, that we can know who holds the future and that he is good. So let's jump into the text and see what's in there for us today, okay? The desert and the parched land will be glad. It's not saying it is glad. It's not saying let's pretend, let's be Pollyanna, let's just pretend it's not really as bad as what it really is, that there are hundreds of thousands of people that have been, millions that have been infected, hundreds of thousands have died, estimated even more than that. But the reality is, this is real life. It's affecting the whole world. It's affecting both political parties, major political parties. It's affecting whole countries, the whole world. There's a desert that we're experiencing, for sure. But in that, know that it's not over. And he goes on to say, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. It's painting this picture again. It knows it's a desert. It knows it's a wilderness. People don't typically go out and live in that wilderness because there's not much to live on. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom, this beautiful flower. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. See, you and I have to remember that God is the God of the garden, that he created all things. This first creation, chapter 1, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God made. And it talks about, again, how he walked in the garden with the man and the woman, how he spent time with them, how he loved them, and he helped them learn about who he was and how to walk with him, how to be in a relationship with him. And then we find this incredibly horrible, tragic pivot in the story, this horrible choice that we're still feeling the impacts from, this brokenness that we experience every day, every person in the world, that life just doesn't seem like it's supposed to be. But we have the God of the garden who not only created once, but through Jesus is launched his new creation movement. And in that, you and I get to experience a relation with God again and fully, and we get to lean in and become again what God wants us to be. And God knows of us to become stuff that we'll just feel like we're the best us when we do the things God made us to do. It's kind of like if you're right-handed and you write, you don't think about it, but when you switch hands, unless you're ambidextrous, if you switch hands, you're like, this doesn't feel right. Or if you're left-handed, vice versa, right? But the reality is it just doesn't feel right. And a lot of times we kind of go through life like that. But when we really understand God's story and how we fit into God's story, then it's like putting in the pencil in the right hand and being able to write with it. And it doesn't feel weird. And that's what the faith in Jesus is about. It's about really becoming again who God's called you to be and leaning into it and not being afraid of it. Listen to these promises that just he paints in here. Then will the eyes, this is again, the desert is now is blossoming. The flowers are coming out. There's the springs of life coming around. Then will the eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Just beautiful pictures here, right? Just gorgeous what's going on. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. We're tempted, though, to get out of this wilderness. We're tempted to get, we got to get out of this thing quickly. Maybe it's just, God needs our help. There are countless examples that we don't have time to get into, but there are countless examples in Scripture and in life where people thought God needed a little help, and God wasn't directing them to help them, but yet they just took it upon themselves, and it usually didn't go well. And so one in particular is in the beginning again with Abraham and Sarah and her maidservant Hagar, and just how it just doesn't go well. And so you can check it out in Genesis, but it's just one of those things you just go, man, like he was trying to get out of the wilderness. She was trying to get out of the wilderness. They were trying to get out of this wilderness to help God with his promises. And the challenge is we have to follow God's lead. When the leaders for the church get together, we don't go, hey, I have an idea. It's hey, what have you been sensing the Lord been leading Where do you feel that we should really focus our attention, our energy? When we are supporting ministries, like we're doing the special Advent giving, the something extra, we didn't just randomly pick those. I mean, those are something we took to prayer. We met leadership, the missions team, and you know, researched some various organizations, and we're thrilled to do that. This week with the Boys and Girls Club, Chuck Hill helped start that, helped co-found that here in St. Lucie County. His passing is a loss for us as a church. We miss him dearly. Betty's life is not the same because of that. But you know what? His legacy is still going on. His work that he started 20-plus years ago is still being carried on. And we want to partner with his frontline ministry, his ministry he's doing in the community that he started. Now he's passed on. And we just keep wanting to maybe go, okay, God, what about this and what about that? We don't have to get out of the wilderness. The Lord will lead us out of that wilderness, or he'll help bring life in that wilderness. That wilderness, again, we're so tempted, but we got to stop trying. And I'm not saying that scientists shouldn't work really hard about getting a vaccine. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we, in the moment, as we're here, let us grow and be stretched and fully embrace what God has for us in this season. And we pray that this never happens again. but the reality is it's about us cooperating, partnering with what God's doing. I shared again before, but if you missed it, the wilderness is for preparation. The wilderness isn't an accident. It's not like God's like, oh man, boy, I didn't see that coming. No, the wilderness is for you and I to get prepared to be the people God's called us to be where he's taking us. So let us lean into it. Let's not be afraid of it. Think about that. The preparation we both need, that we all need. The text goes on to say, the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. The redeemed will walk in this new garden that God is creating. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. The sorrow, the sadness, the pain, the anger, all the doubt, all the questions is just going to be gone. The God of the garden is coming, and the beautiful that he's doing, the eyes of the blind will be opened. The lame will leap like a deer. The ears of the deaf will become unstopped. It's about us understanding that we're going to shout for joy. Maybe we just know the brokenness that's out there. Maybe we experience it every day. Maybe there's loved ones that are just struggling so much. You don't know what you can do. You don't know how to move forward. You don't know what to say. We walk in the desert lands that are still here, but we look to the God of the garden, and we acknowledge our deserts. We acknowledge that there's still challenges in our lives and our families and our friends and in our souls with God and every desert. And say, Lord, we know it's painful. We have questions. We struggle. But help us to know you as that God of the garden. That we don't have to do this on our own. That every wilderness will become a life-giving spring. Let me say that again. Every wilderness will become a life-giving spring. The people in your life that have been just those people, those so special groups of people in our lives, teachers, mentors, leaders, people that poured into our lives, saw more in us than we ever saw in ourselves, they had difficult times too. Those difficult times, though, didn't crush them. No, help them to learn to lean on the Lord. Help them learn to lean in, to trust, to pray, to seek, and to grow through it. For a seed to truly grow, it's actually got to die off. And then life can come from it. As the seed dies off and the plant starts to grow, it can flourish again as all the things come in to play a part, to help it flourish. You and I need the local church for that. We need other friends and family to support us, to pray for us, to encourage us. We need community. We need opportunities to serve others. We need times to give There's going to be people in your life that you just have a burden. Like, we need to help them. And you don't know why. You didn't wake up with this idea. So, you know, usually it's not like that. It's just, you just have this burden. You're like, hey, we should go help them. It's because they're in a desert and you know how it is to be thirsty. And if the Lord leads you to do that, you need to do that. You need to be faithful. You need to obey him. If the Lord doesn't, then that's fine. But you need to be open and receptive to how the Lord moves.
Is have
faith at work through our lives, through our heart, through how we love others. How are you helping and serving others? It might be through small ways, through quiet ways, through not so public ways, and that's fine. It's not about that. You might be praying for people. You might write encouraging notes for people. You might help out in small ways that, you know, it's not about, you know, anything public or something that's well known. That's okay. You got to find your way of serving and loving and using your faith through everyday parts of your life. But it may be something well known or public. Like I mentioned, Chuck Hill, who, you know, started the Boys and Girls Club. I mean, he had a burden for those children that didn't have those people that came upon them and that encouraged them, that supported them, that helped kind of not only give them wisdom and make wise choices, but to help them know that someone cared, that they weren't forgotten in any way. And it started with a burden in his everyday normal life as a principal and seeing some of the challenges that the kids were facing. It may be public, it may be private. It's about you and I putting our faith to work. And it's not about us doing the works of God. It's about God doing his work through us. And as we do that, we'll experience his pleasure and his joy. And this really has a big question behind this whole book in Isaiah. Is God trustworthy? I mean, that's really can be sum up the entire book, because it's just one of those questions that should just force us to lean in, because he wants us to know and to ask this question for us to know and discover that, yes, he is trustworthy. But all of us have had challenges. All of us have been in the deserts of and experienced just burdens. Some burdens immobilize us. Some burdens we've never recovered from. Some of the challenges that you and I face, our stories, other stories, can get to the point where it can just claim us. And that's not what God has intended for us. That's not what he wants for our lives. But believing is God trustworthy is just crucial for you and I to really understand that it's not about us trusting in ourselves. Because it's either we trust in ourselves and we kind of lean into this and we say, okay, we're going to get ourselves out of the desert. But it's we got to walk with God in this. And as we walk with God, we're going to walk in security and in blessing, even in his glory and in joy. And if these things, and they're going to be limited now, but if they're limited now, there's going to be a day when they won't be limited. They'll be unlimited as much as he is. And so we have to ask, are we trusting in ourselves or are we trusting in God? And I encourage you, I implore you, please trust in him. He's the one to walk with. He's the one to know that he's walking with us. And he's not afraid of the mess that you are in. He's not afraid of the mess that I'm in. He says, I'm enough, and let's do this together. We can experience his hope, his love, and his joy this day. Now, your homework is this. It's not hard, I promise you. But remember, he will make every desert into a garden, okay? And that he is here. Is to read Luke chapter 2, and that's going to be the actual time of Jesus' birth. And then it's only one chapter. I know you can do it. I know you can handle it. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. We'll see you guys next week.